This is Kids These Days.
And it's another program about traveling with the whole family. The very entertaining and knowledgeable Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland visit Kids These Days for another conversation about getting out and about in the world when you have kids in tow. I'm in the studio this hour with the hosts of the Alaska Travelgram on loan from KOAN AM. Each will share their top five lists for summer travel in and out of the last frontier. Also this hour, we take you on a family vacation for just a couple of minutes. Our very own KTD contributor Jessica Cochran is on vacation as we speak with her kids, her husband, and her mother-in-law. We'll call her later in the hour. That and so much more today on Kids These Days. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I just myself got back from a trip cross-country with kids. Many Alaskans, when they go on vacation, it also is synonymous with going to see family members. So we were in Baltimore, Maryland. We had 2 4-hour back-to-back flights with a 2 and a 4-year-old. It was really quite an adventure. So I have some personal connection to our topic this hour, having just returned from that. And with me in the studio again are Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin. Both host another local radio program, the Alaska Travelgram on KOAN AM, is always about travel. And today they're on Kids These Days, putting their heads together to give advice about family travel. Last year, Scott and Aaron were with us talking about winter travel ideas for Alaskan families. And of course, we'll be linking to that show from this one when it's posted on KidsTheseDays.org in case you want to catch that one too. So without further ado, I'll continue those introductions. Scott McMurrin is the man behind AlaskaTravelgram.com, and he gives travel advice on KTUU-TV and via the Alaska Dispatch. He's a dad and an expert in getting in, out, and around Alaska, as well as places far beyond. Thanks so much for being here.
Shanna, it's always great to see you, and I commend you for doing all that family travel back and forth to the East Coast. It's a stretch, but most of us Alaskans, we've done it.
Also with us today is Erin Kirkland. She appears regularly on Kids These Days as our KTD On The Go contributor. She gives tips on getting out with kiddos in the great state of Alaska. She also blogs for us weekly on that same topic. Her posts appear Fridays, along with a link to her information site. That's akonthego.com. And thank you for coming in again, Erin.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here in person.
Well, since I said it in the beginning, you both have prepared top five lists, and these are for summer family travel trips, and you each have a slightly different take on that. Aaron, you're talking about top five in Alaska family trips, and Scott, you've prepared remarks for your top five out-of-state family trips. So who wants
to... exciting.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They're remarkable.
who wants to jump in
because
first?
Because we're all entertaining. Well, I'll jump in first because I think... everyone in Alaska is actually jumping to get going with summer. You know, the days are getting longer and kids are out on their bikes and they don't go to bed anymore, obviously.
Or at least not on time.
That's right. So what I do at the end of each year is compile my top five, and I start with the fifth one. And this last year, we had just kind of an on-the-fly trip towards Seward. So we went down Seward Highway and kind of hung out at Summit Lake, Cooper Landing, Turn Lake, that little area where it branches off one way to Seward, the other way to Homer. And we spent 6 days just kind of hanging around in there. And we went on an awesome raft trip that Scott recommended. Alaska Wildland Adventures took us down the Kenai River, which was very exciting for our son. We saw critters galore and people fishing, which was tons of fun. But we also checked out Quartz Creek Campground. We just sat by Kenai Lake and let him play in the rocks. And we had a picnic. We visited the Cooper Landing Museum, which everyone considers a drive-by. But I love this little museum. The history of that area is phenomenal. The old highway is right there. They have this huge bear skeleton that the kids put together at the local elementary school. And we just had a ball. And we stayed at Summit Lake Lodge. Actually, which has undergone a major remodel, and we are really excited to check that out for this year. And we just had a ball fishing, canoeing, just kind of hanging out, which sometimes, especially for us busy Anchorage parents, we just want to just chill with our kids, and it was great.
And Scott McMurrin, we just heard Aaron Kirkland's top, well, the fifth one, right? Number five for in-state family travel trips for the summer. Where are you going to take us for your fifth recommendation?
I've got to tell you, on the kind of near the bottom, it all kind of lumped in together about, you know, going to see the relatives.
Uh-huh.
Because out of Alaska, I mean, this is, I mean,
good
I mean,
point,
this
though.
this is fair game. Okay. Especially for new parents or parents of young children, you know, throw in there something for the relatives. What we did when number one son was young, this was for our 10th anniversary, actually. We flew to Memphis and dropped Drew, not from afar, but we Grandpa and Grandma were right there, and then let him hang with them for a few days, and we went to Bermuda. Okay,
and
are you
that,
sure this should
and
be
that's
number
only
one?
Number five.
No. But the other then you know we ran out of money after that, and so the next time
so
we
went,
we did this. We went down to Mississippi, which is where my wife is from, and we stayed for a few days. It was around Christmas, and then Christy and I took off and went down to Vicksburg. So the idea is, give some time to the grandparents to, you know, hang with them and give mom and dad a break. This is really therapeutic, and there's a thousand variations. And my family's from Oregon, and so we would, you know, go down and hang with the family and then go to the beach, any beach. And so my fifth one down here is any beach, USA. Because think about it. If you take the kids, you know, they run off on the beach, and they're playing in the sand, they're getting dirty, they're outside, so they're going to sleep well at night. And I don't know what I'm telling you two. You're moms, you know. I'm a dad. I don't care, you know. I'm driving.
You will.
I'm driving, and don't tell me where to go. Everybody's been telling me where to go
and
for
you're
years.
Not lost.
So, yeah, that's right. Don't you forget that, you know. But I just want to share, you know, so my top five would be the relatives and any beach USA. Mm-hmm. If you can coordinate that, and you know, most of us can figure out, you know, unless it's Omaha.
Well, then maybe you just invite the family who's in Omaha
which
to go
is a good,
someplace
good
neutral
idea.
That also has a beach.
Sometimes that works, but sometimes you're getting them out of sorts. And I think that you both know, especially, again, new parents, you know, the first 2-3 years, to just go to the relatives and maybe just get a little bit of a break, you know, from the 24/7 deal. And it really means a lot. And I think it adds to our quality of life. You know, so that's probably my top five. I've got some other whiz-bang stuff, you know.
Well, back to you, Aaron Kirkland. What's your next, the next stop on your list?
I think AK Fam for number four would choose Talkeetna and the general area around there. We discovered Talkeetna after driving by that spur road last year. And we've actually been in the summer and in the winter. And gosh, that's a cool place. So you've got the Talkeetna Roadhouse, which has history beyond history. And if you don't stop there and eat one of those, you know, dinner plate-sized pancakes, well, you're missing out. And Trisha's got just such a wonderful atmosphere built in there that you feel like you're in somebody's just little cabin. And that's, you know, really what family's like. You don't have to worry about if your kids are running around. She's got toys. She's got other kids that are running around. And Talkeetna itself is such a nice little community. It's crazy busy in the summer, but that, you know, you can still walk up and down the middle of the street because everybody does. You can go down to the river. We love Mahe's jet boat tours. Oh my gosh. I mean, our son sat there for 3 hours with his mouth hanging open because the jet boats are just the coolest things ever because the rivers are so shallow. Mm-hmm. These boats do these crazy turns and then you stop off at a little trapper village kind of place and kind of look into the history of the Native Alaskans and the trappers. And he just thought that was a blast. And you could take a longer trip, too, depending on your kid's age. But Talkeetna also has a fabulous kids' playground. And I don't know if your kids have checked it out, but it is just, you know, you could...
It's the park right downtown.
The park right downtown, yeah.
And there's a big field, right?
Yeah.
Right next to it.
So, you know, you grab a latte, a little cinnamon roll to go from the Talkeetna Roadhouse. I know how this works.
Big cinnamon roll.
Big. So, and you sit there on the bench and you say, bye-bye, and they're right there. So, it's the best. Now you have two choices to get there, and both are equally cool. You can road trip, which is fine for most families, or you can take the train, which is the perfect length of time.
I think, for a kid. By the time you get up there, they're ready to get off, and you can wander around. You can spend the night at the Roadhouse and then go back the next day or whatever you want to do. It really is one of our favorite spots. And plus, all the climbers are coming in and out of there, so you can check out. These guys are going to go climb Denali. The Talkeetna Ranger Station is a great spot. I know we're going to talk later about the Junior Ranger Program. If you go in there, you can get started on that, and they can kind of get a feel for McKinley, Denali National Park. So, you know, you're kind of entering your wilderness experience right from Talkeetna.
Well, since you mentioned it, Aaron Kirkland, let's talk about the national parks. Kids these days wanted to make sure that we had some other voices represented in this program talking about travel around the state and out of the state in the summer for families. So we've prepared this. The National Park Service has been around since 1916, and it hosts 275 million visitors every year. With nearly 400 parks throughout the United States, 23 of which are in Alaska, the Park Service offers many ways for families to explore the outdoors in the summer. Kathy Kupper from the National Park Service Office of Communications in Washington, D.C. tells us more.
National parks are a great choice for a family vacation. There are 394 national parks throughout the country. They're in every single state except Delaware. So they're close to home or spread out as far as you'd like to go. So from Alaska down to Florida, of course, Maine to California, everything from our country's founding to natural areas like Yellowstone and Yosemite and many other parks. Really, whatever you're looking for, you can find in the national park. There's something for everyone. The National Park Service's signature children's program is the Junior Ranger Program, and the program exists in pretty much every national park. When you visit a park, just go to the first visitor center you see and ask about the Junior Ranger Program, and you'll be handed a booklet. And it's at your own pace for the most part. Sometimes they have ranger-led activities, but the general idea is for children to become immersed in the resource. And so there'll be different activities, and they can take their time and select certain ones to do. And when they accomplish a certain number of them, they turn the book back into a ranger who looks it over, and then they receive either a patch or a badge from the ranger and usually a certificate. The best place to find out more information about national parks is on the internet at www.nps.gov.
So that was Kathy Kupper with the National Park Service Office of Communications.
So, and I love listening to that because I'm ticking off parks that I visited. Scott was too, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest, you know, and the whole West Coast. I think I've hit them all. But the wonderful thing about the national parks, and I don't know if you saw Ken Burns's you know, series, America's Best Idea. I think for parents to take their kids to as many of these national parks as they can, starting right here in Alaska, you're just gonna grow better kids. I mean, it is a stunning example of how our country has kind of pulled together our natural resources, and it really still manages to engage everybody from toddler to, you know, grandparent in what we have, and they are truly a treasure. And so when I send people to Denali, I say, you know, don't just drive by Denali. Don't ever drive by a national park. You've got to stop and check it out. Because my husband worked for Olympic National Park when we met, and we'd see tons of people say, oh gosh, it's so much driving to get around. I said, yes, allow a week. I mean, you just can't, and every place is so different. That I think is just really, really close to our heart, and I think it should be close to everybody's.
Well, the national parks, as this piece just pointed out, there are 23 of them in Alaska.
Yeah, we have
which
tons.
Is a huge number.
Yeah, some of them are pretty hard to get to, but, you know, it's definitely worth thing. And you know, the Junior Ranger Program, did you know you have to take an oath before you get your badge?
I did not know.
Yes, it's an oath.
And both my kids are junior rangers from Kenai Fjords National
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, so are my kids. Yeah, that's where our youngest got his. And it was serious business. I mean, the ranger stood there and said, you know, cross your fingers, hope to die. You know, you're going to. So, I mean, he still has that thing. And it's so cool. They do a great job with their kids' programs.
And we'll, of course, link to that URL that the parks person
yes.
mentioned in that piece as well from our website at kidsthesedays.org. Mm-hmm. This is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, your host. And today I'm in the studio with Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin. We're talking about summer family travel. We're going down top five lists that both of our guests have prepared for us today. And we are at Scott McMurrin's number four. Scott, yeah. What is your number four
I'm looking at
recommendation?
Excuse me.
No peeking, Aaron.
Okay, well, here's the deal. is, first of all, you know, I could go on and on about Aaron's top five in the state because I've done them, and I love, you know, putting my kids on the train. That is great, and we'll get around to public transportation, leave the driving to them so the kids can run around. That's a great element. But I am, you know, quite frankly, with the kids and vacations and stuff like that, sometimes a real urban cowboy, okay? And it's so funny to hear about the national parks because the National Park Service coordinates and oversees quite a few of our national monuments in Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. is just a cornucopia for kids in terms of history, their school lessons in American history. You can finally start to connect the dots. And I went back to Washington, D.C. I used to live there. Every weekend I go into what they call the district and go to the Smithsonian Institute and just basically wander around. All the museums are free. The National Portrait Gallery, the Museum of the Air and Space Museum. I can never get out of there. The Air and Space Museum is epic. You've got the X-15 in there. You've got the Wright Brothers plane in there. You've got Sputnik in there. It's just
a space shuttle's going there.
Well, you know, it's the whole thing is just epic. Some of the Apollo capsules are on display there, and you can see the molten. Excuse me. You can see the molten metal that, you know, that happens after they go through the atmosphere on reentry. It's just epic. You can rent bikes in Washington, D.C., right there on the street.
Oh, that'd be a great way to get around.
And bike around the mall. I went to the Jefferson Memorial. I went to the Lincoln Memorial. And these, of course, you've seen pictures, but to see them, you know, kids respond to the visual stimulation. And architecture matters. And all the inscriptions, you've got to read the inscriptions to your kids. Mm-hmm. There's the Gettysburg Address. You know, the Emancipation Proclamation. I mean, this is epic, epic stuff. And I just want to put in a big fat plug for the Museum of the American Indian. This is, and you know, for adults, it may bring us to tears. You know, because it's so powerful. I'm not a museum person by nature, but I think that the kids really will come away from that knowing more and having a better understanding of the world that we live in. Again, most of these are free. You get to go to the Vietnam War Memorial. You can go to the new World War II Memorial, the new Franklin D. Roosevelt Memorial. All of those are on the mall. It's all in one place. You can just take the day, ride the bikes, and then just check the bikes back in. So you've got a little, Aaron loves getting them outside the mall. It's fabulous. And so that would be my number four.
Well, let's have you go straight to number three,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked about Any Beach USA.
Right.
But there is a fascination with Hawaii. Okay.
How could there not be?
They're really, really. I mean, everybody loves Hawaii. 12 out of 12. I don't care if you go in winter, summer, spring, or fall. It's just fabulous. I remember we were watching kids' videos, you know, back when it was a VHS machine.
No way.
About number one son when he was like about 18, 19 months old. We took him to Hawaii. It's the first time that he'd actually rubbed his feet in the grass because there's just been snow out, you know. So all these firsts, you know, for Alaskan kids is just an epic, sensual experience. You know, there's the ocean, there's mm-hmm. the pool, there's swimming when it's not in the all chlorine-infested indoor pool that we all love so much, you know. It's swimming in the ocean, just being in the ocean. And you know, I mean, I remember feeding the koi in this funky fish pond. The kids just loved it. The Hawaiian lifestyle is enchanting. And the Hawaiian music, that goes along with that. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't think you can go wrong, which is why for years and years and years and years, now generations, Alaskans have been going to Hawaii. And I think it's a legend that will continue, huh?
Yeah. So would you say a summer trip is just as wonderful to Hawaii for a family as would a winter trip be?
Well, I have many a brain stain from my very first trip to Hawaii, which I was after I got out of college, and it was in July.
What's a brain stain?
It's the visceral experience.
Okay. I think I get it now.
Excuse me. And this is a family program, so, you know. But I remember seeing Kenny Loggins live in a small club there in Kauai. And, you know, it was just fabulous. I remember hiking along the Kalawa Valley Trail back from Princeville along the coast. It's kind of scary. The neat thing about a summer trip is that the trail is drier, okay, because in the winter it can get really muddy and, you know, you can fall and die. So we don't want that. You know, the easy trip back there, the easy hike for families with small children is to Hanakapiʻi Falls. It's just 2 miles.
And which island is this?
This is on Kauai, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, the Garden Isle. Mm-hmm. All right. And Princeville is all the way at the top. Hanalei Bay is right there at the trailhead. And you just go back about 2.5 miles and everybody has a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we love the Poipu area because traditionally it's sunnier. But again, in the summer, you know, it can be, you know, beautiful. I love it.
Well,
I used to live in Hawaii before I came to Alaska. I lived in Kona for a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that go back and forth. I notice
it's true
constantly.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, before we went out of time in the first half of the show, Aaron Kirkland, how about your number three recommendation for in-state travel?
Oh well, it's not Hawaii, that's for sure.
That's
but you know, we enjoy the interior area, so up to Fairbanks. I was a little surprised that Fairbanks was as much fun for a family as it was. We spent a week up there last August, and it was right during the beginning of the Sandhill Crane migration. So we spent a lot of time. We stayed at Wedgwood Resort, kind of on the fringe there, and we spent a lot of time at Creamer's Field, which is where the majority of these Sandhill Cranes come. And it was just incredible. You could hear them at night doing their squawking and whatever it is that they're doing. And so we would hike around there. They have wonderful family-friendly trails that kind of go through the fields that they planted as food for these birds. And then we spent some time at the Alaska Bird Observatory, and we went bird banding, which was so fun. We helped some of the little research students, the biology students, kind of band these little birds, and then we'd set them loose, and it was pretty cool experience. And then we were there for the Tanana Valley Fair, which was a hoot. We had a blast. I mean, it's just a small town, little funky fair. But you can ride your bike, again, or take public transportation right straight there and go on all the fun rides and then head on back to your hotel. Totally family-friendly. A couple other things we did was the El Dorado Railroad and the Riverboat Discovery. So they're both owned by the Binkley family. And these were, I was totally expecting, yeah, I'm in Alaska and this is going to be the hokiest thing ever. But it was a blast. I mean, it's a real mine, so a placer mine. So they do put you on the little choo-choo and you get to check out these little vignettes of you know, mining in Alaska as it's come. But, you know, then you get to watch them, you know, fill a sluice box and everybody gets to pan for gold. And
guaranteed gold.
And guess, so my husband scored like $80 worth of gold. It was shocking. Yeah. It's like, AK, Dad, what's going on here? So, and then you go on the Riverboat Discovery up the Chena River, which was, it was a beautiful day. It was delightful. I mean, you've got running narration. You've got, you know, float planes taking off. They stopped by Susan Butcher's family kennel that Dave Monson, her husband, runs, and that was really neat. And then you get off at this little village, and they teach you about native life. And, you know, for kids, it was super. And they had free donuts, too, which was really good.
Also super.
Yeah, and then University of Alaska Fairbanks has a Museum of the North, which is a do-not-miss experience. I would say probably for mid-elementary school, so maybe age 9, when they can kind of do the scavenger hunt kind of stuff. But it is do-not-miss. It is fabulous if you want to learn about Alaskan history, Alaska geology, and what's, you know, what's kind of up and coming research wise. It is definitely a exceptional place to visit. So we love Fairbanks.
I'll tell you, I'll second that emotion on the Riverboat Discovery. I waited 20 years because I thought it was just going to be too touristy.
No way.
We had a,
I know.
We had a blast. The kids loved it, and we all got gold fever at that El Dorado.
And people are asking, you're from Alaska and you're going on this? You betcha. This was great.
It's fun.
So don't discount, you know, that's another point. Don't discount your own state and your own towns, because you always can learn something and, you know, you can have a great time.
Well, this is Kids These Days, where I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'm having a great time with my guests, Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin, both travel gurus, and they're sharing with us their top five trips recommended for both in-state travel and out-of-state travel with the whole family during the summer. After the break, we'll also hear from some Anchorage high schoolers, and our Dr. KTD will let us know how to be bike safe when you are out with your kids. And right away after the break, we're calling Kids These Days' own Jessica Cochran to find out about how the trip she's on right now is going. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. Teenagers in Alaska are more at risk of dying by suicide than kids in any other state. Understanding this statistic and the efforts to fight the problem is the subject on the next Kids These Days. This hour, we also listen to teen-produced suicide prevention messages, and we report on South Central Foundation's Wellness Warriors Initiative. Also, April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. KTD sits down for a conversation with the director of the Alaska Children's Trust. Join us next time, Tuesday at 2 and again at 7 p.m., right here on listener-supported KSKA. You are here with us on Kids These Days. Thanks for joining us and being a part of this conversation. So where is it you like to go with the whole family in the summer? Lots of Alaskans say leaving the state in the summer is just something you don't do. What do you think? Let us know. Write to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org, that, or go to our website and log in with your Facebook info and post your comments right then and there. Well, whether you never leave Alaska in the summer or you always do, today's guests have put together top five lists for Kids These Days, and we're checking off those recommendations this hour. Aaron Kirkland, a.k.a. On the Go Mom, and KidsTheseDays.org blogger, is sharing her top five in-state family summer trips, and Scott McMurrin is here to tell us about his top five out-of-state recommendations, and he is the man behind Alaska Travelgram. Right now, we are through numbers 5, 4, and 3, and we're going toward the second and first of those recommendations. But before we get back to that, we're going to check in with Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran. Jessica is on vacation right now in an undisclosed location in Oregon. Oregon. Jessica, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
So, Jess, we have a couple things that you and I talked about discussing, but before we get started on some of the travel details, tell me, you're down there with your two children and your husband, your children are young, and your husband, and then also your husband's mom, so your mother-in-law. So how is it traveling with your in-law?
It's going really well. I have to say I was... We originally planned this trip as like a just the four of us trip, and when we decided to invite Christy, I was slightly hesitant, but she is actually a super great mother-in-law and a very easygoing travel companion, so it's been really wonderful to have her along.
So, you know, we have two Oregonians, our former Oregonians with us. So where are you?
Yeah, come on. Where are you?
Oh, we're just south of Newport.
Oh, you're at the beach.
That would be Yahats.
All right, Yahats.
We're not quite to Yahats yet.
Oh, are you actually on the go?
We are stopped having a late lunch.
Oh, bon appetit.
So the Oregon coast is pretty worthy family destination, is it not?
It is. It's beautiful. It's, I have to say, cold and rainy at the moment.
Welcome to Oregon.
Still very beautiful. It's been great. We spent one night in Oceanside near Tillamook.
Right.
And then spent last night in Newport because we had to get to the much anticipated hotel with a swimming pool.
How about the aquarium?
Yes, we just came from the aquarium.
There
we
go. Excellent. Got to go there.
Yep. Good. Check. Yep. Check.
Nice.
So, Jessica, tell me also, or you said something about the hotels being anticipated because they have swimming pools. This is a requisite for your family?
It is a strong desire of our children to always have a
hotel. I won't stay anywhere without a pool.
Well, and in Portland, we, you know, we were trying to do that, and we were looking around, and but it didn't end up working out because by the time we thought about getting two hotel rooms, because you know, we've shared a room while all of us a couple nights, but didn't really want to do that for the whole vacation. It didn't seem quite as much of a vacation, so it just got really expensive by the time we looked at two hotel rooms with a swimming pool in Portland. So there, we ended up staying in a like a basement apartment of a house that we found on Vacation Rentals by Owner. And that worked out really well. We were kind of up in the hills above Portland State University campus.
Oh, yeah.
And we could walk to get to the public transportation and could even walk all the way downtown if we had wanted to.
Nice.
And so that was really great. And I really like staying in houses instead of hotels all the time because, for one, you just have a little more space. We had a kitchen and a living room and, you know, it just makes that kind of chill-out time that you need with kids a little bit easier. But also, you just are in an area you might not get to otherwise. You're just kind of getting the feel of how people really live there because you're in a neighborhood.
You know, Jessica, we found that to be true, not just locally in the United States, but when we visited European capitals, Rome, Paris, and also Barcelona, we picked up an apartment because you can get a really nice apartment for what they want to charge you a hotel for.
Where are you headed to then? It sounds like you're en route someplace else. Where are you going?
We are heading down the coast to Florence and then turning inland towards Eugene and stopping to stay with some friends.
Go Ducks!
In the woods.
Did I say that?
Yeah, that's my alma mater, University
my
of
My husband's
Oregon,
too.
Actually,
yeah. Yeah.
Quack,
quack.
Oh, okay.
Quack.
So what should we see in Eugene?
Go running on all the great trails there. Go to the university. Go check out Autzen Stadium. I mean, there's some cool stuff. Great coffee shops, of course, because that's what we do.
The bike trail, I mean,
are great.
The bike trails, whether you're walking, running, or biking, are just fabulous all along the Willamette River,
beautiful.
Both sides of the river. Just fabulous.
Let the kids run around.
Well, Jessica, thanks so much for taking time out of your trip to call into the program today, and I hope you can get back to your lunch and finish up before you're back on the road.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
That was Kids These Days' own Jessica Cochran. She's our regular contributor, and she just called in from Oregon.
She sounds very sane and collected.
She sounds like she's having a very good time.
Awesome.
Well, as I mentioned, we are doing top five lists. We are getting closer and closer to the ultimate recommendation by our two travel experts. So, Aaron Kirkland, let me go to you first for number two.
Let's go cosmic, down to Homer.
Oh,
the cosmic little hamlet of Homer. We love Homer. And I tell you, my number one and number two, Homer was number one year before last, but it got bumped, and I'll share why in a little bit. But Homer, Scott was talking about the beach. You can't beat it. We stay at the Homer Seaside Cottages, which are right smack kind of in the old part of Homer there near Two Sisters Bakery, which, of course, I guess Scott's drooling right now. I could see it from the window. And
I
you
can
walk,
smell it from here.
Walk to Bishop's Beach, and we just grab a whole bag of sand toys and lunch or those yummy cinnamon rolls and just sit there, and you can let the kids go crazy. And Islands and Ocean Visitor Center is just above that, and they lead these wonderful little discovery times for the whole family, really, not just for kids. And they're free, and a lot of times you'll kind of walk through their little estuary area and then end up at Bishop's Beach, and then you can walk back and forth. But Homer, you know, it's just one of those places that's so funky that every time you go there, there's something new happening. And if you stay kind of where we stay, you're not in the craziness of the Homer Spit, which in the summertime with kids, unless you're into that sort of thing, it's a little loud. It's a little crazy at nighttime. Nobody really gets a lot of sleep. So that's why we choose to stay where we do. Now, Land's End Resort is great, but we've just kind of started, you know, backing off from the Spit a little bit. We go fishing in the little pond there, go take the ferry to Seldovia, go over to Halibut Cove. You know, you can rent kayaks, Alaska Kayak School, if you're into kayaking. Tom Pogson does a great job. So Homer is just one of those great places. Pratt Museum for kids is awesome. And you can really do as much or as little as you want. And that's a very Homerish kind of way of looking at things.
Fat Olive, too.
Well, Fat Olive's is actually within walking distance of Homer Seaside Cottages, too. And I bought a pizza there so big I had to put it through the back of my Ford Expedition to get it all. It was so huge.
It's so good. And so it's good Mediterranean cuisine, I think.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's worth the drive.
Yeah.
But the other thing about that is you can sit at the bar. They have a large selection of local microbrews. But what I really love is the large selection of wines by the glass for, I think it's $7. Hmm.
Which every parent needs at the end of the day.
Really good wine for $7. When I was a young parent, I could never even imagine spending $7 on a glass of wine. But now I'm all over it.
Well, we're parents. So, you know, and you'll kind of note the way I talk about trips is that I talk about easy access to stuff. Our family, and some families aren't this way, but our family is kind of at the point now where we like to have our home base, and we like to be able to either walk or ride bikes or not have to drive a long way to get to stuff. That's one of the great things about Homer is that they've got this great bike path system and, you know, out to the Spit. You don't have to drive far to have fun with your kids. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that kind of idea. Now, that said, there is the Wynn Nature Center, which is way up, you know, East End Road there, Carl E. Wynn Nature Center, that is a center for Alaska coastal studies. And it's really nice area to hike with kids. And they have a great little log cabin classroom kind of thing where they do some neat stuff, story time and what have you. So, but in general, we like to stay right there where we can kind of access all this stuff and, you know, not have to pull out the car keys to do everything.
Well, and it's a long drive down there.
And that's the one thing about Homer is that, you know, people say as the crow flies, it's not that far, but it takes at least 6 hours by the time you pack up kids and have to stop to go to the bathroom and get snacks and all that. I mean, it takes all day really to get to Homer. So it's not the easiest trip, especially in the summer when you've got crowded highway, but it is definitely worth going for. And I would go for at least 4 days. If you're going to drive all that way with kids, you know, make sure you've got 3 nights, 4 days at least.
All right, Scott McMurrin, hit us with your number two recommendation.
This is a heritage story, Shanna, because this is what we did when we were growing up. Okay.
Oh.
And of course, we always went to San Francisco, everybody's favorite city.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather was head of the San Francisco Visitors Bureau, so he had an apartment right downtown.
Really?
So just two blocks from Ghirardelli Square, and we just loved it. I couldn't wait to get there. As soon as we got there, I went down right there. You're right on the water, so I went right down to the beach, and there's a big old pier that we just kind of traipsed around there. And my dad immediately went over to Fisherman's Wharf and got three things. He got fresh cracked crab, Dungeness crab, fresh sourdough bread, San Francisco sourdough bread, and Coors beer.
You tell Scott likes the food portion of this.
So, well, it was a huge thing, and so it was a real, and you'll find too, when you go on family vacations, especially if you go more than once, that your kids will identify with those sensual pleasures.
Totally.
The food thing really makes a difference. And having easy access to a wide variety of, I mean, if you got a picky eater in the family, that can really throw a hitch in the come along for a family vacation. Of course, what am I telling you moms for?
My son
you
lives on corn dogs when we
and again, I don't know or care about that as a dad. You know, I'm looking for the right parking place. So,
because you're not lost.
That's right. So I love San Francisco. For our son, number one son, for his second birthday, we took him to San Francisco, stayed at a fancy hotel up there on Snob Hill.
Nice.
The Huntington Hotel. Very nice, very expensive. Wouldn't stay there again. But we went down to Ghirardelli Square where they have the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory and we got him a chocolate fudge sundae. He had about three bites of that and it just wound up. I mean, and I got to eat the rest of it. So I was a better man and a bigger man too. But I will tell you that there's a component to this trip which is epic. And again, we spent 4 days there because we go around Union Square. The girls love to go shopping. And the Virgin Superstore is there, which is just so cool. The Metreon, the Sony store, is there as well. And it's just epic. But we went there from there up to Lake Tahoe, which is you know, it takes all day to get up there, but it's worth it.
Who cares?
It's
the drive is great.
It's town and country. So that's our Central California town and country destination, Lake Tahoe. We went up to the South Shore last time, rented a little cabin, and the water's cold, takes the energy right out of those kids, you know, and they're going to sleep
always
well.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous.
He keeps coming back to that.
Yes. What can you do to wear him out?
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Scott McMurrin, speaking of San Francisco, as a young adult, I went on a trip to San Francisco. I was unaccompanied because at this point I was a young adult. I think I was about 20 years old. And I have wonderful memories of being there. It was a really great time. And that is a good segue into a piece that we've prepared for today's show. I think many people remember the first time that you traveled all by yourself. And maybe it was a road trip with your high school sweetheart, or maybe you flew across the country all by yourself to see your family. But wherever you went, the chances are you really remember doing it. Well, Kids These Days was curious about solo traveling teens these days. So producer Sarah Gonzalez went to Service High School and found out that freedom is still a popular state of mind.
I think Alaska kids travel more than the rest of the kids in the United States. Because we're just farther away and we have to go farther to get to the rest of the country.
In order for us to go to Lower 48 and everything, we have to travel to get there. Like, instead of like people who live in like Minnesota or Chicago, they can just drive to wherever they want to. So yeah, I do think we travel more.
Have you ever traveled without your parents?
Yes, I went to Europe on a school trip my sophomore year. And it was really fun. I like being without my parents. I'm ready to leave. I'm a senior, so I'm ready to go. So.
I went to Paris by myself, and I was 16. I went to go stay with the family. We kind of did like a mini exchange for a couple weeks in the summertime. It was really hard because I was with a family that didn't speak any English because the daughter that was supposed to be there didn't go. And so I couldn't really talk to anyone. We had to use sign language a lot.
I was, I think, 12, and I traveled with just my cousins, and we went to Alabama to visit my cousin, and yeah.
Really young.
Yeah.
Were you scared? Or?
I was a little scared, but I was used to traveling a lot because we travel a lot. So it wasn't too bad. We had a flight assistant like helping us out and stuff, so it wasn't too bad.
Me and my friends drove up to Washington during the summer last year, and then we just went up there, went swimming, just kind of hung out up there for like a week and a half. I was 16. It was fun because, you know, I mean, it gives you a chance to be more independent and prove that you can handle stuff by yourself. And then if you handle it right, then your parents will know that you're more mature, and they'll treat you a little bit more maturely.
No, we've traveled alone before.
We traveled between us three sisters alone. So they had us in the airport. They had us go to a special room where we couldn't leave until the airlines had our flight ready.
And it was just us three. Our parents didn't go. We didn't have any adults. It was just us three going.
Yes, I have traveled to Denver, but when I was going to Denver, I went to Seattle for a little bit, and then I went to Minnesota for a little bit. Well, for my birthday present, to go watch a professional NBA game. it was kind of crazy because, like, all my gates were on separate sides of the airport, so I had to find different trains and everything. It was a good experience, though, so now I know where to go.
What's your favorite part of traveling by yourself?
It's like freedom.
I liked having the freedom, I guess.
The freedom.
The freedom of not getting yelled at constantly.
The independence, just the freedom. I feel like grown up when I travel by myself.
I can be independent traveling by myself and everything, and I'm growing up.
Seldom travel by the multitude. Those were Devin Roberts Service High School students freely talking about their summer travel with KTD producer Sarah Gonzalez.
You know, just looking at the three of us, I mean, we've all been there. Good for them. Way to go, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have just enough time to find out what the number one recommendation is from each of you for family travel in the summer. Scott McMurrin. What is your out-of-state recommendation?
Well, and this is feedback from my family.
Right.
And this is, I mean, the number one epic family trip we took was to Lake Powell. And we flew into Las Vegas and drove through Zion National Park to get to the marina where we rented a houseboat. And it's like, I mean, I'm not a motorhead by nature, but this is like all about the gas. We had a houseboat. It was like a 35-foot, you know, big thing with like three bedrooms. So the boys had a bedroom. Christy and I had a bedroom. And then Grandpa came along with his dog.
Oh, nice.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. True story. And we had a motorboat that we hauled behind.
So these are like pontoon boats, kind of,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. With twin, like, 250s in the back.
Awesome.
Wow. And so it's like, I mean, I did not have my unlimited license, but it's just basically like driving a motorboat. And I would recommend that to anybody. And my kids just can't shut up about it. And it's like, sure, I know. Uh-oh. You love the freedom and stuff like that. It's amazing what money will buy. I love that, the kids talking about the freedom. That's great. But they loved it. I would do it again. I would recommend it. In fact, when we were talking about going, people who had done it said, oh yeah, best family vacation ever.
All right, Aaron Kirkland, this is the big drum roll run, right?
It is. And right. This, I tell you what, our little hearts were shifted by Valdez last year. And the earth moved in Valdez, too. How about that? So Valdez is one of those spots that unless you go there, you're just not going to get the magic that is there. Now, the way, and it's part of it is the trip, too. So there's, Scott calls it one of his little golden loops. Mm-hmm. So the way we went is that we caught the ferry. So the Alaska Marine Highway System is a fabulous way to get to or from Valdez. Mm-hmm. So we caught the boat in Whittier, and we took the Chiniga, which is the fast ferry. Key, 3 hours as opposed to five. It's a beautiful boat. It gets you right there, and you get off in Valdez, and you're in the middle of this nice little town that you can walk around. Now, it kind of reminded us of Homer, but with more walkability. So everywhere you go, we did take the car, but we really didn't use it a whole lot because they have these bike paths all over the town. And we went kayaking. We went fishing. We went on a Stan Stevens wildlife cruise. And, you know, the weather was gorgeous the whole time, which I guess it doesn't always happen like that in Valdez.
Really?
I know. It was, and so we went Labor Day weekend last year. So things were just about getting ready to wind down. So it wasn't overly crowded, but my gosh, we had a blast. And the neat thing about Valdez, too, is the history, because you've got the Valdez oil spill and you've got that mammoth earthquake in 1964. So there's Old Town Valdez site, which is very sobering, but yet very heartening at the same time, because you can stand there with your kids and talk about, especially now that we're witnessing this devastation in Japan, you can stand there with your kids and say, look, this is what happened to this town, but by gosh, they packed up the town and moved it over here, and Valdez continues to thrive. So there's a couple museums you can go to, and then you can actually go walk around this town site. There's glaciers you can go hike to. There's a 12-mile paved path that you can bring your bikes, you can rent bikes, and take a ride with your family. It was really just one of the most laid-back weeks we've ever spent. And by the end of it, and we ate at the Harbor Cafe every day because my husband said this is where we're going. So that's where it says tiny little spot, and you eat outside, and they have fish tacos to die for.
Let me the just fish tell you. Tacos are great.
And they have these little, you know, floats that they let the kids climb on, and so my son's swinging around by the entrance to the place, and everybody there is just kind of the same kind of attitude as Homer, you know, and everybody's just happy, and people are fishing from the shore, and it really was an outstanding place to go. Great hiking there for families, right from downtown. So again, you don't have to drive around. The Maxine Jesse Whitney Museum is another wonderful place that can show off some of the history. But there's great wild animals stuffed there, and there's old furniture. And we really, really enjoyed our time there. So it is number one. And don't forget the Marine Highway System while you're doing that. And then you can drive home Richardson Highway if you want to do that. So either way, it's
and that's
awesome.
A great drive.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the leaves are turning when we drove back, mm-hmm. and when I'm driving along with my camera, I said, stop, I have to take a picture. So, we love Valdez. It's very close to our heart. In fact, we're going back soon for the Valdez fly-in. In May, over Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, that's a fun time.
It is going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, we will have a little bit more about the Alaska Marine Highway System here after I bid adieu and a warm farewell to our two great guests today. Scott McMurrin joined us. He is AlaskaTravelGram.com. You can find out more information about travel there. It's also on KTUU and the Alaska Dispatch. And he is the co-host of Alaska Travelgram on KOANAM, along with our other guest, Aaron Kirkland, who is akonthego.com and also KTD on the go contributor for Kids These Days regularly on our website. We will link to their websites. We will also have their top five lists written out for you to see easily at kidsthesedays.org. Thanks so much to both of you for being here today. It's been such a pleasure.
It's awesome. Let's go somewhere.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Thanks, Shanna. Good Get time. Out and travel, everybody.
Good to see you,
Summer's
Shanna.
Too short.
Good to see you. Aaron Kirkland's number one recommendation for family travel is to go to Valdez, and she mentions getting there on the Alaska Marine Highway. Well, hopping on the Alaska Marine Highway System is a great way to play tourist in our own state. Riding any of the 11 passenger ferries with service to 33 ports means seeing a new view of Alaska from the water and connecting to a variety of great camping destinations. Alaska Marine Highway marketing manager Danielle Atkins explains why families love ferries.
Well, the ferry is a very family-friendly way to travel with children. The ferry is very laid back. It's a very relaxed mode of travel. And I think it offers a lot of different activities for the kids as well. We do have arcades on board and movie theaters to keep the kids entertained if they're on an extended trip. But it's also very cost effective for families to ride the ferry because children under 6 actually get to ride free, and kids between the ages of 6 and 12 ride for half price. Ferries do offer interpretive talks that are given by both the U.S. Forest Service and also Fish and Wildlife in different sections of our routes. They tell them a lot about the wildlife, the whales and seals, and all the different flora and fauna that you experience along the way. So it can also be kind of an educational trip for children. From the South Central region, there's a couple of different options for you depending on what type of a time frame you have to work with. But for just, you know, a day trip, you can drive the short drive down to Whittier, maybe step on board either the Aurora or the Chenega, which is one of our fast vehicle ferries, and explore the communities of either Cordova or Valdez in Prince William Sound. Those, of course, are both in the Chugach National Forest, so there's lots of opportunities for camping, hiking, fishing, nature and wildlife viewing in that area. And another option for you might be to drive down the Kenai Peninsula, and maybe if you have a little more time or an extended weekend, you could take a trip over to Kodiak Island and view the wildlife over there. The bears, obviously, are a big draw on Kodiak, and lots of other great fishing options and outdoor activities on Kodiak as well. We are still offering our driver goes free on the round trip for summer, so if you're thinking about packing up the family in the family vehicle, bring that along, and one of the adult drivers will get to go free if you're traveling round trip with a vehicle. So it's a great opportunity to check that out, and the details of those specials are located on our website at ferryalaska.com.
Every so often, pediatrician Michelle Laufer is featured on this program as our Dr. KTD. Well, on this family travel show, we've talked a lot about destinations where it's possible to bike with the whole family. So this time, Michelle gives us her recommendations about cycling safety.
Except for the hardy few who enjoy winter riding, most Alaskan families associate biking with the onset of our long summer days. Once the ice is clear, the open road and trails beckon. I'm Michelle Laufer, Dr. KTD. This most fundamental rite of passage begins on a tricycle around age 3. Most kids learn to ride a two-wheeler between the ages of 4 and 7, but don't fret if your first grader still insists on training wheels. She'll take on the challenge when she's ready. Properly outfitting and educating your family for the experience helps keep bike riding enjoyable and safe. Unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of children are seriously injured and more than 600 die each year in bicycle accidents in the United States. As with most endeavors, biking safety starts with proper equipment. Select a bike that allows the child to sit on the seat and touch both feet to the ground. And while it seems cost-effective, avoid purchasing a bike for a child to grow into, since this compromises safety. Choose brightly colored clothing with tight pant cuffs to avoid getting caught in wheels or chains, and make sure shoes are sturdy and closed-toed with secure laces. It may seem like helmets are a symptom of overparenting, but everyone on a bike or trike should wear one. After all, in a collision or fall, bones and scrapes heal, brains often don't. Helmets should be specific to bike riding, as they are designed to protect in relatively high-speed, head-first falls, and should meet standards set by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Properly fitting helmets are worn squarely on the head, covering the top of the forehead with a snugly adjusted chin strap. Also remember, head injuries occur on sidewalks, in driveways, on bike paths, as well as on streets. You cannot predict when a fall or collision will occur, so wear a helmet on every ride. Young children and beginners should ride in areas free of traffic, preferably without gravel, loose sand, or puddles. Soft surfaces like grass will lower the risk of injury from falls. Before your family hits the road, teach kids to use hand signals and respect traffic laws. When you are ready, always ride on the right side of the road. Nearly 1/4 of bicycle accidents result from cyclists riding against traffic. Bicycling is a wonderful activity in so many ways. It's outdoors, active, social, and appropriate for folks of all ages. Teaching and modeling bicycle safety for your kids is a gift that lasts a lifetime.
That's it for this hour of Kids These Days. Thanks again to our in-studio guests, Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland. We'll link to their websites from kidsthesedays.org so you can find out more about them and read more travel advice or get updates via social media. You can keep in contact with us that way too. We're at KTD Radio on Twitter and Kids These Days Radio through Facebook. Next time on the program, we're talking about Alaska's epidemic of suicide. We'll hear suicide prevention public service announcements made by rural Alaska teenagers, and also learn about South Central Foundation's Wellness Warriors Initiative. We'll talk with the Alaska Children's Trust before the month is out. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. That's next time on Kids These Days. Kids These Days had help today from Jessica Cochran, who called in from Walton, Oregon. Thanks again to Devin Roberts at Service High School for his part in providing a teen perspective for this program. Sarah Gonzalez is our producer, technical director, and online media manager. You can contact us anytime you like right on our website, that's kidsthesedays.org, or write us an email, mail@kidsthesedays.org. I'm Shanna Sheehy. Thanks for being here, where we're talking about raising Alaska's future today. We'll see you next week.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the hosts, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on the program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.